Russia launches a large-scale military assault on Ukraine, sending uncertainty pulsing through global financial markets. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Developments on the conflict between Russia and Ukraine are coming fast and furiously, so we'll bring you up to speed on the latest on the ground. But first, let's run through a few key numbers. Oil prices have surged this morning. Brent crude is trading at $105 a barrel for the first time since 2014. The West Texas benchmark is up at $100 a barrel. Global stock markets are solidly lower, with benchmarks across Asia closing down in the 1.8 to 3.2% range. European stock indices are down in the 2.7 to 4.4% range, while U.S. stock futures are down more than 2% at this hour. That reaction, of course, comes after Russia invaded Ukraine by land, air, and sea overnight in what President Vladimir Putin has called a special military operation. That is an air raid siren cutting through the early morning hours in the capital, Kiev, after people woke to the sound of explosions across the city. President Putin announced the invasion on television, warning any interference with Russia's actions would lead to an immediate response never previously experienced in history. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky condemned Russia's attack as treacherous, liking it to the invasion by Nazi German forces in World War II, and he appealed for calm.
Russia has carried out strikes on our military infrastructure and our border guards and border detachments. Explosions were heard in many Ukrainian cities. We are imposing martial law in all regions of our state. A minute ago, I had a telephone conversation with President Biden. The United States has already begun preparing for international support. We need you to be calm today. If possible, please stay at home.
But over the last several hours, civilians have been heading to air raid shelters or to the city metro. Lines have formed at supermarkets, ATMs, and gas stations. Thousands are trying to leave the capital, and some roads are gridlocked. A couple of people have spoken to the BBC this morning.
I waited. I'm not sure how to tell, but we all knew that this will happen sooner or later, and I hope that our soldiers are ready for this.
We don't understand what we do now. But so now we go to a place where we can be safety, and we hope that we can live in this situation.
The deteriorating situation on the ground has injected fear and uncertainty in global financial markets. Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets, explains that especially when it comes to oil supplies, investors are worried whether there's enough to go around.
At the moment, supplies haven't changed. They are still flowing out of Russia, gas and oil. And until that changes, then what you're seeing at the moment is a knee-jerk response to the risk that that might happen. Let's face it, I think until such times as NATO and EU leaders coalesce around a response that will hurt Russia, it's likely that prices are going to have to go higher. I mean, crude oil, Brent crude is up 5 or 6%. It's $103 a barrel. There's potential for it to go even higher. If you cut Russian oil off, the capacity for OPEC to fill that gap is fairly limited, given the fact that they're already struggling to increase their production levels.
And I guess, you know, we're talking about commodities, but also the impact of another round of potential sanctions and how hard they might hit even Western giants like BP, Shell, Exxon, even JP Morgan, Citi. All of those companies have either significant investments in Russia or do business in Russia. So how big of a fear is that for investors at this point, do you think?
I think that's a very significant concern. And I think you can see that's reflected in BP share price in particular. It's down 3.5%, despite the fact that oil prices are well above $100 a barrel. And that's because BP has a 20% stake in Rosneft. And Bernard Looney, CEO of BP, earlier this month suggested that that wasn't anything to worry about in the short to medium term. I have a feeling he's probably revising that opinion now.
Michael Hewson, thanks so much for breaking this down for us.
Thank you.
Over the last few days in the lead up to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, calls have grown louder for tougher Western sanctions on Moscow. This morning, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen vowed to deliver them.
Later today, we will present a package of massive and targeted sanctions to European leaders for approval. With this package, we will target strategic sectors of the Russian economy by blocking their access to technologies and markets that are key for Russia. We will weaken Russia's economic base and its capacity to modernize. And in addition, we will freeze Russian assets in the European Union and stop the access of Russian banks to European financial markets.
To get the view of the impact of harsher sanctions now from Russia, we turn to Chris Weaver. He's the boss of Moscow-based Eurasia consultancy Macro Advisory.
Finance Ministry and other government officials have all clearly stated in the last few days that if the West does bring these economically damaging sanctions that have been talked about, then there will be a response from Moscow. Now, that's different than we've had for the last 7 years, where the narrative from the Russian government has been that they always wanted to avoid any counter-sanctions or doing anything that would actually inflict more damage on the Russian economy or prevent investors from coming.
We've been hearing reports that President Putin is meeting with business leaders this morning, and there's obviously plenty to discuss. We've seen the ruble currency drop to a record low. The Moscow Stock Exchange, after halting trading, is now down more than 37%. It's by far the biggest one-day drop we've seen. So how big is the effect that we're already seeing on the Russian economy? And I guess how substantial is it for Russia? Because it has been, over the last few years, sort of preparing for something like this, hasn't it?
Yes, that's absolutely the case. The Russia's financial position has never been as strong. It has built up very strong financial reserves, has cut debt down to a very low level, and most importantly, has adjusted the budget so that, say, for example, in 2013, the budget needed $115 average to balance. This year, at the current exchange rate, it will balance at about $50. So, for example, at the current oil price, if it were to remain like this, then the Russian budget will run a surplus of about $55 billion this year, which is more than the country's total sovereign external debt. So the preparations have set been in place, and the government has enough financial resources to ride out, you know, kind of several months of financial turbulence. It can provide subsidies to people or to the economy or to big business if they need it to adapt to new sanctions. But really, that benefit is not long lasting. If these very severe sanctions that have been talked about are applied, then the economy will start to feel that impact within months.
Chris Weaver, thanks so much for breaking this down for us this morning.
You're most welcome.
We're seeing reports now Germany's Chancellor Olaf Scholz is due to call a conference of G7 leaders later today. Stay with the BBC and Marketplace all day for the very latest on this developing news story. For now in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.